We are going on a culinary road trip for this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. Happy Friday. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Destination Lake Michigan, from Door County fish boils to beer-battered cheese curds with homemade ranch dip, we are recreating some of the Third Coast's most iconic dishes at home. Amelia Levin is a Chicago-based food writer, chef, and cookbook author. Her new one is, and we are unabashedly partial to it, it's called The Lake Michigan Cottage Cookbook, Door County Cherry Pie, Sheboygan Bratwurst, Traverse City Trout, and 115 more regional favorites. Amelia, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
And before we talk any further, I want to say Amelia has shared several recipes from the book that we're going to be breaking down this hour, and you can find them on the Ideas Network Facebook page, or you can go to WPR.org/mornings. So first off, Amelia, what is it about Lake Michigan that holds a special place in your heart?
Well, I grew up in Chicago, so I'm obviously right on Lake Michigan. But a lot of my earliest childhood memories really revolved around going to Door County since, I mean, I was a baby when I went there. And, you know, going there and just jumping off the docks as a little kid and swimming in the lake and coming back and, you know, having a great meal or going to a Friday night fish boil or going to a supper club and eating the fried perch. These are really nostalgic memories that I had. And I figured there's got to be a way I can capture these somehow in a book or in a cookbook or something.
Yeah, and you did. And it's so cool because these are things that we love to eat, but we just don't exactly know the right way to prep and cook and all of the ingredients. So there were a number of aha moments for me in this book. So as an adult, you've been making these new culinary memories as you road trip around the lake and see this area in a new light around Lake Michigan. Can you talk about how you've seen the food scene change in the towns and cities along the shoreline?
Sure. So obviously I had a lot of childhood memories, but then as an adult, what happened was I went on a press trip back to Door County. I mean, it was nothing like, I've been here a million times, but I saw it in a completely different light. We met chefs and farmers and you know, shop owners, and and I had, at that point, you know, been doing food. So I was like, wow, this is amazing culinary landscape, and we don't really talk about it that much. And then, you know, as an adult, when we would go back to the lake and vacation there, I was pregnant with my first child, and so we weren't really going out that much to the restaurants, and we just started cooking a lot at the house we were at. And then after he was born, we were obviously not going out very much either.
That's when you really weren't going
bedtime.
Out.
Right, so we're really not going out. So then we were cooking more and more and more, and then finding, you know, places to find amazing fish and local produce and just cooking at the house. And that's really where a lot of these ideas came about.
And you feature recipes that really invoke the special places along the lake, as well as profiles of these must-see places. Can you talk a little bit about what we'll find in the book?
The way I tried to lay it out was really covering the circle tour, which is, you know, if you would start in Wisconsin, you would start all the way at the top at Door County and then come back down around through Chicago, through a little bit of Northwest Indiana, up through Michigan, up to you know, upwards toward Traverse City. So, you know, the recipes are there are a lot of similarities between the Michigan and Wisconsin side, obviously, but the lake is really the glue that holds everything together, or like the influence that really it's basically that's the one central thing we all have in common.
Yeah, so do you find as you travel through the different parts, the shoreline and the different states, because you did divide the book up into the different states around Lake Michigan, did the food scene change all that much?
You know, there are definitely differences. I would say, on the Michigan side, you know, you have the fruit belt around the southwest side, sort of by New Buffalo, because of the way the air comes off of the lake, going east. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Traverse City and Door County have a lot of similarities, obviously with the cherries, mm-hmm. and then and the fish. So there were so many similarities that... to be fair, I first wanted to do a Door County cookbook, but then that's a little limiting, so I had to open it up. So fine, no, it's okay. But as I opened it up, I realized there are so many similarities throughout all these areas, and it really has to do with the lake and the way that affects the growing seasons and things like that. So.
Well, let's open it up, but let's first start in Milwaukee, and which is an entry point there in your book for food in Milwaukee. Really exciting scene, but you also focus on beer and sausage. So what do we find in Milwaukee in your cookbook?
So I worked with Dave Swanson at Braze, who he provided an actual recipe if you wanted to make your own bratwurst. I know that's very ambitious. I mean, not everyone's going to do that. But then there's also just a recipe to if you're going to buy bratwurst, which you can pretty much everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was talking to a few people, and, you know, the idea of bratwurst is very, politically charged. you either grill it, or you braise it, or you don't braise it, or you have to grill it, or, you know, it's like, no, I never braise my bratwurst, so why dare you? And so is, you know, you can do what you want with it, but in the book I did include a recipe for braising it, so people will probably be like, what, how dare you? But
how politically,
you know,
incorrect.
Yeah. So actually, sometimes when we have barbecues, we actually do both. We'll grill some bratwurst, but we'll also have a little pan on the grill with the beer and the onions and some bratwurst in there. So it's like, we'll have
who
both.
Knew there could be so much controversy?
Yeah, who knows?
And so the beer part of it, how walk us through do you soak it in the beer? What's going on there?
It's more just sort of simmering it in the beer. So mm-hmm. I start with the onions, and then, you know, they soak up the... And I actually like to use Nuclearis beer, which I can't get in Chicago all the time. And they'll, you know, it soaks up the beer flavor, and then you put the bratwurst in there. Well, sometimes we'll sear it first on the grill, and then put it in the beer to soak up more.
You also kind of hold back a little bit on salt content in your cookbook.
Oh,
why
yeah.
is that?
I know, I forgot I wrote that. I just, you know, in the last, I would say, five years, we've changed how we eat and cook. And, you know, I went to culinary school. I understand the importance of salt and everything. But I've just learned that if you pull back on the salt and you really think about other ways to add flavor through herbs or acid, mostly lemon, things like that, you can add just as much more flavor without overdoing it.
We're talking with Amelia Levin, and the new cookbook is the Lake Michigan Cottage Cookbook. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Where is your favorite place to eat along Lake Michigan? What dish evokes fond memories of summer nights on the lake? What do you want to recreate? 800-642-1234. You can pick Amelia's brain, share with us, email ideas at WPR.org. So, Amelia, back to that Milwaukee section, there is this thing, dairy product called quark. Can you talk more about what that is and what kinds of dishes it can be used in?
So, yeah, sure. So, quark is, you don't find it elsewhere very often.
I only knew like Quark Express, like the old software, design software. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm really out of it here.
It's definitely, I think a Wisconsin thing. It's I hate to compare it to ricotta because it's creamier, but it's sort of tangy like that. Mm-hmm. I had a recipe in there. A Clock Shuttle Creamery makes an amazing quark, and you can just take crackers and dip it in there and smear it, and it's delicious. And they have an herb version. But then I also included a recipe using it in cheesecake, which is like, if you were going to make a ricotta cheesecake, you're going to use it with quark, which is naturally a little more creamier, so it just, everything is tasty.
Everything is tasty. Some recipes really simple, others require a little extra time, patience, and TLC in the kitchen. All of them take us to Lake Michigan, combining old traditions and local ingredients with chef-inspired ideas. The cookbook is called the Lake Michigan Cottage Cookbook. Amelia Levin is with us for Wisconsin Weekend. Do you have a question or a delicious recipe to share that's inspired by the Lake Michigan shoreline? 800-642-1234. Where is your favorite place to grab a bite to eat along the Third Coast? Call in, email ideas at WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation right after this news update here on the Ideas Network. Whitefish tacos, red wine braised brisket from Waseda Farms Meat in Bailey's Harbor, and then the leftover brisket chili. We are eating our way through the food served up along Lake Michigan's shoreline. It is Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The author of the Lake Michigan Cottage Cookbook, Amelia Levin, stays with us. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you tried to recreate your favorite Lake Michigan dishes at home? And if so, how did it turn out? What recipe are you wondering about that you think may be in this cookbook? Ask away at 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. So, Amelia, let's head up to Door County and look at the fish boil there. What makes the perfect fish boil?
Well, it's a very iconic thing in Door County, and I have, you know, really strong memories of being a little kid and watching, you know, somebody come in and the huge cauldron of salted water and boiling over and all, you know, and then you have your whitefish and, you know, chunks of whitefish and potatoes and lots of tartar sauce smeared all over everything. And often, you know, some rye bread or some other kind of bread. And it's very simple, but it's more about the experience and really enjoying the fresh fish that is often caught, you know, that morning sometimes. So
how can we recreate this fish boil at home?
So I do have a recipe in the book for that. You know, it's, again, it's you know, ambitious, I guess, but it's basically boiling fish on your stove. And it sounds funny, but there's a lot of salt that goes into the water, which initially sounds, oh, that's too much salt. But the oils of the fish will actually they create this barrier, so it just sort of gets, if the water is hot enough, it'll just get a little bit in there to flavor it, but it won't be overly crazy. So, you know, if you're not going to an actual fish boil and you have people over and you want to have some fun, it's a good way to do it, I think.
And so you have this twist on fish. You've got this really interesting recipe for whitefish tacos. And again, we have this up on the WPR.org/mornings, our website page. So we're not going to be talking about plain tacos here. This goes a little bit different direction. Can you walk us through the recipe?
Sure, yeah. So, well, it was inspired by some whitefish tacos I had at Wickman House, which is in Ellison Bay, Wisconsin. And, you know, essentially, I think what's nice about this is, you know, whitefish can have sort of a plain taste. So the pickled red onions and the heat from the aioli, they really offer a nice balance. And it's sort of like, I guess, fish tacos from California, but now we're in Door County.
And what about the guac in there?
Well, guacamole goes with everything, I think. I mean, I don't know. You know, I guess it's kind of random, but it works.
And then, so how do you prepare the dish itself? So how do you prepare the fish and then putting the fixings into it?
Right. So I basically, you know, the fish pieces are, they're lightly breaded and then pan fried just for a few minutes until just crisp. And so they're still, you know, tender on the inside. And then it's pretty simple, actually, really. And then you just stuff them in some tortillas and throw all the stuff all over.
Good to go, right? Yeah. Well, while we're in Door County, talk us through the iconic dessert, the cherry pie, Door County cherry pie.
So, I mean, Door County cherry pie is like every, you know, when you think of Door County, I think a lot of us think about cherries, especially the Montmorency cherries, which are used there. And for this recipe, I got inspiration from Sweetie Pies in Fish Creek, which when we're in Door County, and we will be there in a few weeks, or actually in July, I'm excited. you know, we always make a stop there. And I really like their pie, or just this version of this pie, because it's not overly sugary or sweet, which it can be sometimes in different places. But you really taste the tartness of the cherries that come through here without overdoing it on the sugar. And in the recipe I have in the book, I use an all butter crust, which is
nice.
Just, you can't go wrong with that.
You absolutely can't. And so do you fold over your crust? Do you do two crusts? How do you work your crust?
So in this case, I'm doing kind of two. So you have one on the bottom and then you're like latticing over on the top. But really, I mean, you can do it. Anything you want. I think that's what's fun. What I was trying to do with this cookbook was just offer some, you know, recipes and ideas, but you can really experiment in different ways.
So I have a couple pounds of cherries in my freezer. Are those, could I still use them? Or how long do they keep?
I think you could definitely use those. You'd probably want to thaw them before baking because they could, you know, if it's frozen, they have more water content. But
right.
I mean, I think that would work just fine.
And how do the pies in Door County compare to pies in Traverse City, Michigan? Because they too do their cherry pie.
I get this question a lot.
And you tread carefully.
Yeah, exactly. You know, to be honest, they're very similar.
Uh-huh.
But if you ask somebody from Door County whose pie is better, they're going to say ours. And if you ask somebody from Traverse City, they're going to say theirs. But really, it's about the type of cherries used. And that's all it comes down to. And it's funny because really, cherries grow in those two areas because they're literally in, you know, the same latitude north of the lake. And it's the same type of climate. And there's a lot of similarities. And so it makes sense that the pie would be maybe similar.
It's an even playing field.
Yeah, yeah. So, I don't know.
Did you, were you trying to create the cherry pie that you remembered as a kid, or did you really try to pull from what Sweetie Pies is doing with their cherry pies?
Well, I think a little bit of both. And what I did throughout the book, too, was a lot of, you know, I really wanted to go back to our roots, you know, and just work with as few and as simple, you know, ingredients as possible. And, you know, over the years, you might find a lot of pie filling or something like that, like already pre-made. And, you know, there's things in there. There's cornstarch and all this stuff. So it's really trying to go back to basics and, you know, remember what it's like if you didn't have those shortcuts and, you know, if you just used cherries and a little sugar and butter and made a pie. So that's kind of what I was going for.
Do you do any type of spices in there? Anything like that?
I think I did some lemon.
Because I know you added butter, too, to your filling right on the top, I think.
Yeah. Did I do that?
I think you did, yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. So, a little bit. Oh, yes, for sure. Because, well, yeah. So a little bit of butter in the filling, too, helps. I mean, It just everything. It definitely makes it like silkier and creamier.
Butter just helps.
Well, butter helps everything.
We are talking about the Lake Michigan Cottage Cookbook with author Amelia Levin. She is our guide on Wisconsin Weekend. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Where's your favorite place to grab a bite to eat along the Lake Michigan shoreline? And what dish are you trying to recreate from your time along the shore? Call in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Kathleen on Facebook says pizza at Wild Tomato in Fish Creek, fresh caught fish on the deck in Greenville. Susan on Facebook loves corn on the cob, fresh tomatoes, and ring bologna. So that's really interesting. So just a classic meal, she said, of summers on the lake. Nate called in to say, he says the best way to cook brats is to boil them in beer and onions first before putting them on the grill.
Yes. I think I said it backwards. Yeah, that is the way to definitely to do it. But that's a great way to do it.
What are some of your favorite recipes from this cookbook? I mean, what do you love to recreate at home?
Well, again, a lot of this cooking we do when we're away from home and we have the time. And what our favorite thing to do is when we're in Door County is we'll go up to Hickey Brothers in Bailey's Harbor. We usually stay on the Lake Michigan side, and we'll get some fresh perch that they may have caught that morning or something. Mm-hmm. And then we'll fry it up and with the, you know, make our own tartar sauce, which I have in the recipe or in the book too.
Talk us through your tartar sauce. What goes into it?
Well, there's pickles and parsley and capers. And again, it was sort of like what I was saying earlier, trying to make things from scratch again. You know, you can certainly go buy a bottle of tartar sauce, but I really wanted to remember, like, what is it that goes in it? You know, how can we make it ourselves? Can we even make our own mayonnaise that goes in it? You know, like, I mean, you don't have to, but that's there if you want to, because sometimes, you know, when we're, well, I don't know for anybody else, but for when we're vacationing, we definitely have more time and we can definitely play in the kitchen a little more. So,
and that's so nice to be able to take that time, because that's really where all those memories come from, and to slow down and to make the food one step at a time. You also have Death's Door Spirits in here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so some beverages, some adult beverages. What's going on there?
I'm a fan of Death's Door. I don't know how. Oh, I know how. A long time ago, I write, or used to write a lot more for Edible Chicago and magazine. And a long time ago, I met the owner of Death's Door Spirits. He came to Chicago or something, and I ended up writing a big article about him and about how they use the wheat off of Washington Island. And I just thought that was fascinating. And then, you know, I like martinis, so now I use their cocktails. So I reached out to see if they would provide a recipe, given that they, you know, use wheat from the Door County area. So,
and so they did a Death's Door Caperosca. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah.
And so that is inspired from a cocktail from Brazil, I understand.
Yeah, there's a lot of lime, fresh lime juice, and
some brown sugar and some vodka and rosemary sprigs.
Yeah, so, I guess.
Some good stuff there. Yeah. And then you also do a lot with cheese. We had talked about quark earlier, but Swiss cheese fondue. What do you love about cheese in terms of your cooking?
Well, especially obviously being in Wisconsin, you have access to amazing cheese. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's you can find it everywhere here. So whenever we're in the area and we're vacationing, we're going to end up with a lot of cheese in the kitchen, and we're going to use it in some different ways.
And the maple granola with nuts and seeds, do you recall your morning breakfast on Lake Michigan? Is that something that reminds you of the shore?
Yeah, so we'll make a batch of that kind of early on. We'll usually we stay up here a couple weeks or so, and we'll make a batch of that and just have it, you know, around, especially now that I have two small kids. That's always good to have.
The granola on hand, yeah. The snacks. Yeah. So you do, some nice maple syrup. You've got the butter in there or coconut oil and rolled oats, pumpkin seeds, sunflower seeds, and then getting a lot of the nuts in there, the pecans, the walnuts, the almonds, dried fruit. It's just, you can't give real, I mean, it seems to me like these are a lot of simple ingredients, and yet you're able to break it down for us exactly, you know, what we need at each step.
Yeah, I mean, really, it is a lot of simple ingredients. But again, going back to basics and just really, really letting the flavors of things shine through. And I mean, you can even find local oats now in different places at farmers markets. I mean, I find them a lot. So that's another way to experiment with.
And you were really inspired by farmers markets for these recipes.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Definitely in Door County, we were always at the Sturgeon Bay Farmers Market. Farmers markets are everywhere now, in this area at least, in the summer. Mm-hmm. So sometimes we'll just go and see what's in season, and we'll just work with that. But
You also have a profile of Al Johnson's Swedish restaurant in Sister Bay.
Yeah, which is super iconic place.
Yeah.
You can always, find the goats on the roof. So I was trying to recreate, some of the amazing pancakes we've had there and the meatballs, which they serve to you, in a little platter. On the side or, sometimes.
So in that sense, with the Swedish meatballs, did they provide the recipe? Did you recreate it? How does that work?
In this case, I did recreate it. For various reasons, but throughout the book, there is a mixture of recipes that chefs or restaurants or shops provided, but then also ones that I developed just based off of what I had eaten and inspiration and things like that.
And the Swedish meatballs are served with a side of Swedish pancakes, which you also have as a recipe. So you've got the meatballs and the pancakes all there together on the same plate.
Which those are the two, iconic dishes at that restaurant.
And so in terms of time and with the Swedish meatballs, you also go into a sour cream gravy. So that takes a little more time. Is that right?
Yeah. And I think, you don't have to do everything that's there. Mm-hmm. But if you have a little extra time on a Sunday morning, why not?
We are exploring the recipes along Lake Michigan. Beer-braised bratwurst and onions is followed by homemade Sheboygan-style bratwurst. We got you covered with actual written-down recipes. Prep time, chill time, cook time, it's all there in the Lake Michigan Cottage Cookbook. Author Amelia Levin is our guide on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. You can join in with your questions at 800-642-1234. Where is your favorite place to grab a bite to eat along the Lake Michigan shoreline? And what dish are you trying to recreate from your time along the shoreline? Call in at 800-642-1234. You can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page, where you can find several of the recipes, by the way. We'll get back to the scrumptious conversation after this news update right here on the Ideas Network. Got several recipes for you on the Ideas Network Facebook page, or you can find them at wpr.org/mornings. You've got step-by-step on Door County cherry pie, beer-braised bratwurst and onions, and whitefish tacos with pickled red onions, red-hot aioli, and guacamole. We're on a Lake Michigan culinary tour here on Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The new cookbook is the Lake Michigan Cottage Cookbook, Door County Cherry Pie, Sheboygan Bratwurst, Traverse City Trout, and 115 more regional favorites. Author Amelia Levin is our guide. You have a line at 800-642-1234. What recipe are you curious about? What dish have you had on an excursion to Lake Michigan that you'd love to recreate at home? Let's talk it through or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Grant sent an email and says, as a crazed bread maker, use a great brat bun with your favorite brat. The bun needs to be as good as the brat.
I would agree with that.
So what makes a good bun?
Well, for brats, they're a little bit, you know, bigger than a hot dog bun, and the kinds that you'll get that are really good are gonna be buttery but still hold up to everything and be able to, like, you know, hold it all in. So
speaking of bread, you have a recipe for soft pretzels with cheddar and Gouda beer sauce, which is reminding you of your childhood. Can you take us to Kohler?
Pretzels and cheese sauces, you can get that a lot of different places in the Midwest. But I do remember getting that a lot at this one place in Sheboygan, and it's not there anymore. But we had it there a lot, and I just remember going there. It was a German restaurant, so I was thinking there's got to be a way to kind of recreate that. And, you know, of course there has to be beer in the sauce. So, you know, combining two different cheeses with the beer, and then the pretzels are, you know, I'm not actually a huge baker, but these really aren't too difficult.
You think
they're going to be, like, really ambitious, and then it's really not too bad. So
yeah, how do you make those pretzels, and what are some of the really easy kind of ways to not go wrong when making your pretzels? They can get really hard, they can get dry, there's so many different ways that they can fall short.
I think as long as you're proofing it adequately.
What does that mean?
Letting it sit in a warm place for 50 minutes, almost an hour, and let it rise, the dough rise a little bit, and then it's a little easier to work with once you punch it down and divide it, and then start shaping it. So,
and then you shape it up, you divide up that dough, and then you do a really long string of dough before you shape it,
and then you kind of cross it over into the pretzels.
And for the sauce, what's going into your sauce there?
So I used a smoked Gouda cheese and a cheddar, a little mustard, grainy mustard, and beer, and a little bit of flour and butter, just, you know, to thicken. But you could probably use different kinds of cheeses. I mean, if you didn't want the Gouda or you just wanted to do cheddar, I'm sure there's, you know, there's different ways to adapt.
What's ever on hand.
Right, exactly.
So backing up a page, you've got the cheese ball, cheddar, cherry, and pistachio cheese ball. What do we know? I mean, that holiday parties and cheese balls really go hand in hand.
Yeah, so that was the inspiration. and, of course, you know, you can get great cheese everywhere here. So, I'm also using dried cherries that sometimes you'll find, again, from Door County even. So it's just a great way to use up what's probably on hand already.
And so how long do you make sure that the ball sits as you put all of these different ingredients on your cheese ball?
You want to refrigerate for at least an hour.
Mm-hmm.
But then I like to take it out of the refrigerator so that it starts to warm up a little bit. Otherwise, you're going to try to spread it and it's, like, going to be a mess.
Really, really hard. Right. So there are other states besides Wisconsin in your book. Where else do you go? I know Chicago is a big section in terms of the recipes as well.
Yeah, I didn't want to dwell too much on Chicago, even though I am from there. You know, this was really more about the vacation areas and places that aren't, you know, necessarily the big cities. But there are some recipes from chefs there and others that I developed, you know, using the local produce again. And then there's a little bit through Northwest Indiana and then around the lake through Michigan and Southwest Michigan and upwards.
So. What are some of those recipes that go up toward that Traverse City area in Michigan?
So again, you'll see some whitefish recipes, some things using cherries again. There's some recipes from a cheesemaker in Leland, on the peninsula, Lanao Peninsula, and some other recipes from chefs there using, again, local produce.
Yeah. So if there's a particular recipe that we love when we go to the lake, how do you go about recreating recipes when you're trying to figure out, oh, what's in this? How can I make this at home?
Well, I am a recipe developer by trade, so I, you know, that's partially my job. So I can kind of figure out flavors and what's in there, and it takes a couple times sometimes, it's just I have some pretty strong memories of how things were tasting, and then for this book we did a lot of travel with the family and to go back to the places we used to love, and it was definitely a really fun project.
And in the middle of the winter doldrums, what's your go-to dish to channel those happy memories of a warm summer evenings by the lake?
I would say maybe a fun brunch. There's a brunch strata recipe in there. There's a lot of cheese. we would, and this is not in Wisconsin, so sorry, everybody.
That's okay.
But my sister-in-law, she has a house, and their family has a house in New Buffalo. So we actually go there in the winter a lot, too. And we'll make these, crazy cheesy potatoes that are in the book too. That's always very satisfying.
Well, Amelia, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me. It's been really fun.
Amelia Levin is a Chicago-based food writer, chef, cookbook author. Her new book is The Lake Michigan Cottage Cookbook, Door County Cherry Pie, Sheboygan Bratwurst, Traverse City Trout, and 115 more regional favorites. You'll find several of her recipes on the Ideas Network Facebook page, or you can go to WPR.org/mornings to get the recipes. Now it is time for Wisconsin Life. Here is producer Maureen McCollum with a story about summertime fun.
Playing yard games can often provide the perfect excuse to be outside and have fun with your friends. You may have tossed horseshoes and beanbags, but have you ever played Coob? WPR's Chris Molina tells us about his favorite game.
Coob is a Swedish yard game, and this originated... I'm not sure anyone really knows when exactly it started, but one of the best rumors that I've heard was that the Vikings actually created the game, and instead of using cubes, which are the small wooden blocks, and your batons, they would actually play with skulls and bones of the victims that they had through their raiding and their pillaging. It started on this island in Sweden, and then for some reason in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, it's just kind of taken off there. You'll be walking through a park and you'll see people playing this, and of course everyone's first reaction is, what the heck is this? And the Coob community is usually pretty friendly and pretty, you know, outgoing, so if you walk by and you see a game and you approach these people, they'll just bring you in to throw a baton. So I kind of discovered it that way. I had a lot of friends who got interested in it, and one of my good friends actually started playing in the national tournament, the United States National Tournament of Coob. But what's really amazing is when this tournament started, you really just had, you know, teams from Eau Claire. And then in the second year, you started seeing teams come from the greater Midwest. And now you've got teams coming from California. I think there were some teams from the East Coast as well. It's amazing how far these people will come to play this obscure Swedish yard game. So a lot of people like to call Coop Viking chess, and a lot of times I'll say, well, it's a mixture of, like, bowling and horseshoes. Basically, it's played between two teams, and on each baseline, you've got a line of cubes, and cubes are these small wooden blocks that might be about 8 or 9 inches tall, and you've got the big piece, which is the king, which you put right in the middle of the pitch. And the king is kind of like the eight ball in pool. So basically, one team will go at a time, and they'll take their batons, and they will throw them across the pitch, knocking over the coup blocks on the other team's side.
Ooh.
Once they use all of their batons, the other team gets to throw those coup blocks back onto the other side of the pitch. So it goes back and forth, back and forth. Then you head back to the baseline, and that's when you try to knock the king over, which sometimes is more difficult than it seems. It's just one shot at this big block of wood, but I've missed that shot so many times in the past, and I've been kicking myself because of it. You can take it as seriously as you want. You know, you can have a drink while you're doing it, so you can socialize with people. It's a really nice way to, you know, spend some time during the summer. You're outside, you're meeting people. Like, it doesn't get much better than that.
Chris Molina is a producer and host with the Ideas Network at Wisconsin Public Radio. He's played in the U.S. National Coup Championship 3 times. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And this edition of Wisconsin Weekend was produced by the multitasking, multifaceted Chris Molina, and Sarah Hopeful. Michael Derringer provided technical support. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and you're with us on the Ideas Network.